Good morning. Happy New Year. It's going to be a good year, right? We have a new theme this year, a new bounce in our step. I remember going to church as a young child. Some of my earliest memories about being in church, one of them is in Poto, is where we live, and so at the church in Poto, being a young child and sleeping in the pew, you know, being young enough that during Dad's sermon, no offense to Dad at all or whoever might be preaching at that age, I remember that. Then I remember a little older learning to follow along. I remember Mom, you know, helping follow along in the songbook and Mom moving her finger with the words in the songbook and learning to sing along as a young child. And taking notes. I remember as a child having a piece of paper and writing down the scriptures that Dad was using and taking some notes. And I might have doodled some along the way as well. But, you know, at that age, being able to do that. And so I want to let you know something that we will be doing this year. You may have noticed at the Welcome Center an outline for today's sermon. And these will be available each week for the sermon, to be able to follow along with blanks to fill in. And I want to make a deal with the youngsters in the crowd. And the deal is, in particular, those, you know, the age 3 to 2nd grade will typically be in Bible hour. But age 3rd grade, which is 8, 9, 10, 11 years old, those kids are old enough to read and old enough to be able to follow along some. And so for the children, if you will fill out an outline and bring that to me at the end of services today, I'll be in the foyer, I'll make an exchange with you. A completed outline for a piece of candy, okay? And so call that what you want. I call it great wisdom. These are in the foyer. If you did not pick one up, and if you want one, there is a large stack available at the Welcome Center. Go now. Don't feel bad. Parents, if your child doesn't have one and you want them to have one today, send them out. Send them to go get one. Turn in your Bibles to Hebrews 4:12 if you haven't already. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12. And whether your Bible is in book form or whether it's in a smartphone or a tablet, Hebrews 4:12, hold your Bible up with me. Your tablet, your smartphone. Sometimes you see your neighbor, keep it held up. Let's work out our shoulder. If your shoulder gets tired, switch hands. Sometimes we see someone on their phone or tablet and we think they're checking their email, but hopefully they're following along with the Word of God that's on it. This is our focus this year. This is our focus. And this is what we want to be, to be in our hearts. We want it to be in our minds. We want to be in the Word and the Word to be in us. Because we know it will change us. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12, which is our key passage for the year that will guide us. And it says, as Keith read, "For the word of God is living and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even to dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart." God's word is alive. It's not just on a piece of paper. It's not just in your phone or tablet in an app. God's word is alive because it's powerful. Haven't you heard scripture or read scripture and it pricked your heart? Haven't you been down and you heard scripture or you read scripture and it gave you strength? The Bible is alive. And so our theme this year, a priceless journey, the living Word of God. That is our theme, and that will be our focus this year. It's a journey. We want to journey this year with Scripture. We want to journey through our whole life with Scripture. We want, maybe it's first thing in your morning that you get up with a cup of coffee and you sit down and you spend some time with God and His Word. Maybe that's how you do it. But maybe for you it's right before you go to sleep. However it is, it's a time that we look forward to. It's a time that we invest ourselves in letting God speak to us. And so that will be our guide this year. Turn in your Bibles to Nehemiah chapter 7, verse 73. Nehemiah chapter 7, verse 73. I also want to encourage you to, if you don't normally, I want to encourage you to start bringing your Bible to worship, whatever form it is, but bring it. And because there will be some scripture that Keith and I project when we preach, and some scripture that we want you turning and reading in your own Bible. And so Nehemiah in the Old Testament, if you haven't found it already, it's in the Old Testament after Chronicles and Ezra. If you've gone to Psalms, you've gone too far. Nehemiah chapter 7, verse 73, and that's at the end of this chapter. Which is odd, the chapter break, which man has put in. But the chapter break really breaks in the middle of a sentence. But verse 73 talks about the Israelites. And this is after they've already gone into captivity with the Assyrians. So the Israelites have come back from captivity. Nehemiah has led them in rebuilding the wall around Jerusalem. So they've completed the wall. And now they can go home and they can settle in at home, and they've done that. And so that's where 73 talks about they've settled into their towns. And then Nehemiah chapter 8, verse 1 says, "All the people assembled as one man in the square before the water gate. They told Ezra the scribe to bring out the book of the law of Moses, which the Lord had commanded for Israel." And so here the people gather and they tell Ezra, go get the Bible, basically, the book of the law, probably the first five books of the Old Testament, and bring it out. They want that read to them. When the elders and ministers have gone down to Lubbock to lectureship there, we've gone a couple times, and I always enjoy doing that. When we're down there, I enjoy the speakers, the guys that speak and preach. I enjoy the singing with ministers and elders and others in the audience and some wives. The singing is just really good. I enjoy being together with our elders and minister and just getting away and being able to think and talk about the church. But the one thing that I enjoy the most, that I just get the most out of, and it's kind of brief moments. This must be a tradition. I don't know when it started, but when their speakers, when their preachers will get up to preach to the audience in the auditorium, when they start making their way to the front, members of the audience will say, in the lines of amen, they will say, "Preach the word. Preach the word. Preach the word. Preach the word." You'll hear five or six or seven or eight or ten. And man, that just makes it just makes the hair on my back of my, not the top of my head, the back of my head stand up. Preach the word. I mean, it just gets me fired up. Ezra comes out before the Israelites and they say to him, "Preach it. Read it to us." And so he does. Verse 2. "On the first day of the seventh month, Ezra the priest brought the law before the assembly, which was made up of men and women and all who were able to understand." This is a situation in Scripture, if you're not careful, you'll miss it. They didn't have the young kids here. I don't know if they were home with babysitters. I don't know if they had a really big nursery. I don't know how they did that, how their Bible hour worked. I don't know. But the audience is men and women and all who were able to understand. Children of a certain age can understand. And my guess is they were there. But those younger were not. And it, It makes sense. It's why we do Bible Hour for the young ones. It's why we have a nursery available, because children of a younger age that can't understand, they can understand in a Bible Hour. It's always interesting for me to see that here. All right, verse 3 says, he read it aloud from daybreak till noon. Let me say that again. Daybreak, do you notice that? Daybreak till noon, as he faced the square before the water gate in the presence of the men, women, and others who could understand. What is a long sermon? All right. I remember when I was young, when I was real young, 45 minutes was probably about the standard. And then growing up, 30 to 40 minutes was typical. I try to keep my sermons under 25. I'm watching my timer. If you see me fiddling with my phone before I get up here, I'm not text messaging or checking my Facebook. I'm setting my timer. I try to keep it under 25. Our attention spans, I think, are shorter than they used to be. There were two old ladies leaving church service one time, and one said to the other, "Brother Jones sure does preach long sermons." The other one said, "No, he really doesn't preach a long time. It just seems like a long time." It's amazing how we can sit through a two-hour movie or a three-and-a-half-hour football game, but we struggle with a one-hour worship service. Think about that sometime. Those other two events, a movie or a game, those are designed for entertainment. They are entertaining. They draw you in vicariously. But this is about our heart. This is about something that I proclaim is the most important thing to me, my God. It's about me and my God. Well, verse 3, reading on in verse 3, "And all the people listened attentively to the book of the law." Why did they listen attentively? When I was a youth minister, I remember taking our kids to play paintball for the first time. Took them up north of Tulsa to play paintball, and they take us in to this kind of meeting room with a little TV on a stand and take us through orientation of paintball, which I'm thinking shouldn't be too complicated. Give me a gun, and I'm going to shoot somebody, and that's how it's going to work. But they kind of orient us to things, and I'm doing the youth minister thing, kind of goofing around with Kenny and the other guys, and then the speaker, the presenter, makes a comment about, "You can die." And they start showing some, not graphic images, but they kind of show some illustrations of a paintball going in your eye or in your ear if you don't have your mask on. Now, when they start talking about dying, I started listening. I didn't really catch everything before that, but I'm listening. You have my attention now. Why did they listen attentively? We have a lot of information in our world. This is the information age. It's not the industrial age. We're past that. It's not the modern age. We're past that. It's what's called the postmodern. It's an age of information. We love to check our Facebook and see what all is going on in our friends' lives. We love to check our email about business and important type things, communication that's taking place, communication that's just up to the second, especially from our friends and relatives. We check our text messages. We may check our news, our sporting news, entertainment news, local news, national news. We love information. But there's one source of information that has the power to give me eternal life. There's one source of information that has the power to save me from eternal destruction. Well, Ezra opened the book. Look at this. All the people could see him because he was standing above them. And as he opened it, they stood up. And they stood the whole time. They stood up. Why did they stand up? What do you do during the national anthem? You stand. Why do you stand? Leviticus 19:32 says, "Stand up in the presence of the aged." Young people may not realize, but there is a tradition in our society that when someone, especially for a male, when someone shakes your hand, you stand. If he's standing and I come up to Preston to shake him his hand, there's a tradition in America that Preston would stand to shake my hand. And it's a sign of respect. Standing is a sign of respect. Always has been. There are other places in Scripture. Look at Exodus 33:10, where it says, "They all stood and worshiped." Exodus 33:10. Have you ever been walking in the foyer or walking near a church service and you notice that that the prayer leader is praying? You notice that they're having a prayer. And you might be in the foyer, you might be coming around the side. When I'm in those situations and they're leading a prayer, I will stop. Usually stop what I'm doing, especially if I'm close to it. Why do we do that? We stood this morning, and I think we'll probably do that every week. Our plan is to have scripture reading every week and for it to be meaningful. It's not a sermon. It's not a devotional. It's just God's Word being read. And for us to stand out of respect for God's Word being read, it's a good thing. Verse 6, Ezra praised the Lord, the great God, and all the people lifted up their hands and responded, "Amen, amen." Then they bowed down and worshiped the Lord with their faces to the ground. They stood to show respect. They lifted their hands to demonstrate a dependency on God. They bowed down and worshiped and showed humility. How strongly did these people feel about God's Word? And I look at that and I compare it. How strongly do I feel about God's Word? I think the fact that God's Word, the Bible, is so prevalent, it's so easy for us to have. These people didn't have their own copy. In fact, some of these people, they've been in captivity. These people, many of them, had never heard God's Word. But maybe because we have it so available, we don't respect it as we should. Well, if we read on in verse 8, they read from the book of the law, and then you had this list of men who would make it clear and give the meaning. And so there were times that, see, they did this from morning to noon, and they did it day after day, by the way. They kept doing it each day, but he didn't just read the whole time for 5 or 6 hours, but they would have breaks, and there would be individuals with probably groups of people, and they would teach about it and explain it and make it clear. If you think about the value of Bible class on a Sunday morning, that's the value of it. Bible class for our kids, for us as adults on a Sunday morning, is where we come and learn and have a teacher explain more of Scripture. We ask questions. We interact. It's where we understand what Scripture means and how to apply it to ourselves. And we want our Bible classes to be built up this year. I want to encourage you to come to Bible class Sunday morning. And to come Wednesday nights. I want to encourage you to bring your children to Bible class Sunday morning. If your child, let's say your child is 8, 9, or 10, and we're not here for Bible class, the sermon is the only Bible they're getting all week, unless we're studying it at home. And they can follow along with the sermon. But the children's classes are designed just for them. And what a benefit they are. Well, verse 9, Nehemiah continues to talk to the crowd. And by this point, the crowd had started to weep. They had started to mourn and weep. And verse 9, Nehemiah tells them, "Do not mourn or weep, for all the people had been weeping as they listened to the words of the law." Why were they weeping? They were weeping because the Word of God has the power to convict us of sin. and they were hearing it, and they knew they had not been doing what they were hearing. And they had godly sorrow. Well, Nehemiah tells them at this point in the month, they have already finished a day of atonement, which is the day that they basically reconcile with God. It's a day that God takes care of their sins, and that's already happened. So this is similar to a person who is continuing to grieve for their sin after God's forgiven it. And we might say, hey, the past is the past. Now let's move on to the future. And so Nehemiah does that for the crowd. And in verse 12, then all the people went away to eat and drink, to send portions of food, and to celebrate with great joy, because they now understood the words that had been made known to them. We celebrate a lot of things. I mean, we celebrate getting a raise at work. We celebrate buying a new car or a newer car. We celebrate birthdays. We celebrate anniversaries. I think most of us probably celebrated in some way a new year. You know what? The new year didn't do anything to deserve it. It just comes around like it always does. But we celebrate. Woohoo! We need to celebrate God's word. And this year, every Sunday when we're together like this, part of what we're doing is celebrating God's word, because it's God, it's His voice, it's His thoughts to us. And we want to celebrate that. There's a time to mourn, and we will sing songs that are godly sorrowful, and we will sing songs that are full of joy and praise. Well, verse 14, they found written in the law, which the Lord had commanded through Moses, that the Israelites were to live in booths during the feast of the seventh month. Basically, part of the law instructed them how to celebrate this holiday, and they had not been doing it. And part of what they were to do is to build themselves kind of temporary huts, and this was part of the holiday. And so when the people saw that, they immediately commenced to doing it. We should have been doing this all along, and so they took action. And if you notice, in all that we've read, everything I've underlined here, this is how they responded to the Word of God. They listened to it. They stood to show respect for it. They lifted their hands and agreed. They bowed and worshiped. They wept with godly sorrow. They celebrated with joy. And finally, they made changes in their lives. They went out and did what the Word said to do. What changes do we need to make in our lives? What changes are you going to make as a result of focusing more on God's Word? Don't just read it to read it. Read it for it to change your life. What changes will we make as a congregation? What will change this year as a result of us being in the Word? Us as a congregation focusing on God's Word, what will change? I hope our Bible class attendance increases this year. I hope our daily Bible reading increases. We've started reading this week on the schedule to read through the year, and for the girls, and you'll notice at the Welcome Center, we have schedules just to read through the New Testament, which is one chapter a day, 5 days a week. And so for a child, not only is that doable, but my children spend a lot more time doing that. I timed Abby. It took her 3-4 minutes to read a chapter. Just one chapter. Do you know how much of our children's day they waste in much longer increments of time than 3 or 4 minutes? And so we've made another deal with our children that at the end of the year, my parents did this with us when we were young. At the end of the year, if they've read through the New Testament for the two younger ones, we'll give them $100. If the older one has read through the whole Bible, we'll give her $250. How much money do we spend on junk? before you think that the preacher has too much money. How much money did you spend on your children this Christmas? For what? Because they're alive? How much does a game system cost? I don't know if we'll have that. When I say have that money, I don't know if we'll have that money to burn at the end of the year. But I'm pretty sure that we will never have spent a more valuable dollar than those dollars. Amen. Because by that time, they will have developed a love for God's Word. I want to encourage you to love God's Word this year more than you ever have. We're going to sing a song, I'm the sheep, I'm a sheep, you're the shepherd. And that's what we are. We have a loving God. We follow Him. We love Him. We love to praise Him. But we also love to listen to Him. And I encourage you to do that this year in a special way. If you have a need this morning, we would love to take a moment and pray on your behalf and with you. We'd love to stop and help someone have their sins washed away this morning. If there's something you need, please come while we stand and sing.
Watching over me. He is constantly watching over me.